The other thing that I found, it was really noticeable the lack of money in that the people who lived here had as well. Just as an example, I worked in a unit two buildings up, and where it was all males that lived there. And I remember my first couple of days there, I think I spent the first week in tears every time I went home. But there was, you know, in Melbourne, I used to take people out in, you know, a couple of people at a time, and we'd go shopping for different seasons, you know, and we'd go to Myers and buy the outfits for summer or whatever for that year. And I mean, it's still an institution, but there was a level of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so you would go and do that. And I came here and people, you know, had their own towels and had their own pyjamas and da-da-da-da-da. And I came here and I was working in this men's unit up here, and the evening change time came about, so people were taken out of their clothes and put into pyjamas. And the bathroom doors, and it was quite a big bathroom, it was probably this, you know, width again, would... Again, 30 men basically came in and would just be... in the process of stripping off as they kind of came into the door. So you'd have people with shoes and socks flying and jumpers and pants and underwear and whatever else. And so there'd be clothes strewn everywhere, and there'd be half naked and naked men everywhere. And then the staff opened up a ginormous wooden box, two wooden boxes, I should say, that sat out from the wall. And they just had lids, wooden hinges on, lidded hinges. And in it was hundreds, dozens, I don't know, however many pairs of pajamas, what you would call pajamas. They were all green or orange, and they were all obviously made at the sewing place here. They were pretty unattractive. They were supposed to have elastic in the waist, but most didn't. That was just an assortment of every sort of size that you could get. And as first people undressed, they were just given a top and a bottom, or put into a top and a bottom, whether it fitted or not. So you'd have these guys running around with their pants down around and shirts too, you know, tops too tight, and it was just kind of like, oh my God.
Even with a belt, you see, you know, some of the clients in the community still hold up their trousers. It's just a habit. The other thing is the open drain.
Yeah.
See the open drain?
Yeah.
Goes along there? Yeah. And so if you actually had somebody with a bit of incontinence, you've got this sort of open pit where everything, all the water drains off to as well. So really, this later stuff actually came in when some of the parents, friends of Willow Court, were demanding that some of this stuff actually go in, and so they were pretty proactive in getting some of this stuff to go in.
Shower
just the shower curtains, yeah, because they were retrofitted.
I think that I wouldn't say I was sort of an expert on it, but I know that coming from Kew in Melbourne, that the parents and friends were extremely strong voice, extremely strong advocates over there, and they were the ones that fashioned that brought about a lot of the changes there. Whereas when I came here, that certainly there was probably strong voices, but I think they were not united, you know, to actually bring that sort of stuff about. And it wasn't probably until the Pettifer report in about 80, Pettifer report. There was a report done in the late 80s, and I think that was... the Labor politician, what was her name?
Judy Jackson.
Yeah, sorry, I had a complete mind block. Judy Jackson brought that in, and that was when sort of stuff started to move a little bit.